Right now, we are joined by, of course, Chris Ailman, who is our guest host for today's show. He's Chief Investment Officer of the California State Teachers Retirement System in Sacramento, but he's here in our 1130 studios. And we are also very lucky to have Jim Anderson, Chief Executive Officer of Social Flow, here with us to talk about a very important topic as social media companies continue to come under scrutiny about the amount of information that they deliver, especially to advertisers. So just bring us up to speed on just sort of the dynamics that are affecting the advertising industry right now as they pertain to social media.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is that the tech companies are making a fortune, right? Facebook and Google take the lion's share of digital advertising dollars, and they've got a brilliant business model in that they don't have to pay to create any of the content, right? Companies like Bloomberg, BBC, CNN, you name it, media outlets create the content and ultimately are not benefiting from monetization. So everybody in the digital world knows this is the problem. What we're doing is taking the next logical step and introducing a blockchain-based token to try to get the media companies better compensated for the content they create.
What does that mean? I have no... a blockchain token. I understand. Well, I don't. Go ahead. You're going to enlighten us all.
Well, it's great. I am as guilty as anybody of talking about things like distributed immutable ledgers, and that's just simply a terrible way to talk, right, about anything. So I'm carrying around, obviously your listeners can't see this book I'm holding, but it's just a little bound ledger, right? So think old school, right? The old bound ledger that you would find in the courthouse or that you would, a merchant would have. They
okay.
open it up. There's pages. They're sewn right. in, so you see if a page has been removed or added. The pages are numbered. You fill it out with indelible ink, and now you have a ledger of what's happened that's not necessarily forged proof, but it's very fraud resistant. I think that's what blockchain is in the digital world. It gives you the ability to have sort of the equivalent of a bound ledger that you can actually put some degree of trust in.
All right. So, Chris, when you hear companies engage blockchain, do you tune out? Do you get more interested? Or is it just another technology and a way of recording things? I mean, how do you sort of engage?
No, I think blockchain has a definite, it's a tool of the future. It's a software system that allows a record keeping, and I think it has a place. My question is really, how do you make money? How do you compensate the media companies for their content? Are consumers going to pay for that?
It's interesting. Advertisers, ultimately. So there are two ways you can do it. Exactly. Consumers and sort of think subscription businesses, whether you want to think about New York Times, Wall Street Journal, or even Netflix. I mean, there's plenty of incentives to do that. The problem there we see is a share of wallet problem is everybody tries to get subscriptions. I mean, how many media companies can realistically get vibrant subscriber bases? So that's why we've landed on the advertising side. There's a long history of advertising supported media. I mean, it's a multi-trillion dollar industry right now. And in the digital world in particular, that is sort of rife with a lack of trust, right? Lack of transparency, fraud, bots, not real traffic. And so that's one of the things that blockchain really has the potential to solve.
Is there a way of quantifying good views, quality views, and irrelevant views? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Well, and so the first thing is, can you quantify real humans, right? I mean, so almost by definition, a bot or a robot or some kind of automated account is not a real view. And that's a huge problem in the industry right now. So that's the first and most important thing. And by the way, what Facebook and Twitter and all the other social platforms are really spending a lot of time is trying to get the bot traffic out of there, because it really artificially inflates metrics. It adds a whole dynamic of fraud and sort of just, frankly, bad business to those platforms. Then the next step of what you're saying is, okay, well, not all views are created equal, right? The drive-by viewer versus somebody who's really engaged in your content. And I think most media outlets like to think of that in terms of some kind of subscription funnel. How do I take my most active viewers and try to convert them into some kind of paying subscriber?
I just want to follow up on something you said having to do with bots and sort of what? Shadow activity that doesn't really exist, and advertisers
right.
are paying for it, and publishers are looking for it. What's the big deal? If there used to be this time when if you got to be a vice president at a major corporation, you would get a subscription to a newspaper, let's say the mm-hmm. Wall Street Journal, right? And then you'd go into these buildings and you would see a pile of them thrown at the elevator banks. What's the difference whether they read it or not, as long as they buy the subscription?
Well, for a subscription business, I mean, ultimately, if somebody's willing to pay, I mean, that's the judge. If it's
not a real
human
that,
and they have a credit card,
right,
then maybe you're okay with that.
But isn't that the same point when you're talking about online subscriptions?
In
other words, someone has to subscribe or at least give their email or some personal data, which some marketer somewhere in the whole ether says, oh yeah, this is valuable. I have 5,000 names, or I have 50 million names, and we can now send them lots of junk mail. It's about the way the industry works as opposed to the actual information, right? I mean, advertising used to work because you'd have an ad buyer who was told to go out and buy a certain CPM, a certain cost per thousand, right?
Yeah.
That's all changed now because Google and Facebook have automated the actual activity. You never need, the advertising manager never needs to meet with Google or Facebook. They just type in the parameters of what they want, and then they buy as many clicks as they want, right?
Yeah. Well, there's two things wrapped up in there. The first one, though, is important. I mean, if you're buying a million, access to a million people for 10 million impressions, and half of those are fraudulent, well, then there's a lot of waste built in, right? You're paying for things you're not really getting, not real human views. But you do raise a really important point, which is the self-serve nature of these platforms, right? It's just, it's ridiculously easy. I could pull out my credit card right now and go buy $25 in Facebook advertising and reach, you know, real human beings. And so Facebook and Google have built amazingly powerful technology platforms. The question is, well, what about the companies that actually create the content to populate those platforms? That's what we're trying to solve for.
So, Chris, come on in here, because I know that social responsibility is a big focus of yours. And as we talk about identifying bots and identifying humans, it raises a really interesting question about the oversight of social media companies and sort of where do advertisers come in with respect to that? Where do regulators come into that, especially on the heels of the hearings we heard in Washington, D.C.?
Well, it's the Wild West. I mean, it's just nuts. Consumers have to be much more savvy about where they're getting information and the type of information they're getting. I think far too many people have been taken astray. But Lisa, when I look at Social Flow, your company, I don't understand how you make money in the middle of, you're going to charge consumers, you charge the advertisers for eyeballs. How does this all work?
Well, so we make money by sort of taking a slice of the money that we pass along to publishers. Our goal is to get the media companies paid, right? So that's what we do now. That's what we do in the future with blockchain. We work for 200 of the world's biggest media companies, including Bloomberg, in terms of getting their content out to the social platform. So what we want to do is enable those companies to be paid more. And then we'll take a slice of that. That's how we'll make our money. And if we succeed and do well, the advertisers get real value, the consumers get real value, the media companies get real value, and of course we get real value as compensation for pulling it all together.
Lisa, that's one of the things that drives me nuts. When you think about the social media world, they're focused on eyeballs.
Yeah.
Eyeballs are more engaged when they're fearful. And so that's why I think, while they won't want to admit it, they're in the business of pumping out fear and pumping out negative news so that people may pay more attention. I don't know that advertisers really want to be associated with that emotion. If I'm angry about reading an article and then suddenly an ad for Home Depot pops up, I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well, except that if you've got a lot of eyeballs clicking on your pages and you tend to have a lot of horrific stuff, more people will probably come. I mean, we've seen that time and time again, right? The more catastrophic kinds of stories, the ones that get more attention. More viewership is good viewership, no? I mean, I guess that this raises a question. Is there a delineation between sensationalized news and, you know, drier news that might cater to people who perhaps are better educated or sort of more in the industry?
I definitely think there is. But Chris, let me say this. I mean, Facebook made last quarter, what, $14 billion in revenue? So the proof is in the delivery. I don't disagree with your point. Sensationalized, you know, clickbaity and sort of more tragic stories are not particularly brand safe or advertiser friendly. And you ask the Home Depot example, no, Home Depot does not want to be associated with stories about terrorism or crime or those types of things.
But they really care? If people are clicking on them, do they really care?
They do. They do. I mean, no brand manager is going to be comfortable with that. If for no other reason than when somebody points it out, it's just sort of appalling on a human level. What are you doing advertising against tragedy? It happens, clearly. I mean, it happens a lot in the digital advertising ecosystem. But if you ask any of these brand managers, they certainly would much prefer to be associated with content about puppies and kittens and picnics and happy occasions would certainly be the preference.
We want to thank Jim Anderson. He is the chief executive of Social Flow for enlivening us with the discussion about advertising and blockchain. You're listening to Bloomberg.